Good afternoon, Wrangle. It's 1 p.m. and this is Talk on the Rock, your community call-in show. Except this week, it's unfortunately not a call-in show because we're having an issue with our phone switcher, so we can't get phone calls on the air. I'm your host, Sage Smiley. Thanks for tuning in. This week, we're talking cruises with Brian Salerno, the Senior Vice President of Maritime Policy with Cruise Lines International Association. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming on Talk on the Rock with me today.
Hello, Sage. Well, I'm happy to be here.
Super happy to have you here. So maybe first of all, tell me how you got involved with the cruise industry in the first place.
Oh, me personally? I had a long career in the U.S. Coast Guard. So that is my maritime background. After I retired in 2012, I went on and did some other things, worked with the offshore industry. And a few years ago, this opportunity came up and with CLIA, and I've been with them for about 3.5 years now.
Wonderful. And I mean, it's a big time for the cruise industry and for Alaska's visitor industry right now, considering that Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas did their test voyage earlier this month, and the first cruise to Alaska with paying passengers literally calls in Sitka tomorrow, the first one in 21 months. How did the, maybe start out by telling me how that test voyage went and kind of what the point of doing a test voyage was?
Sure. Well, first of all, everything I heard is it went very well. The reason for the test voyages are to give a dry run to all of the public health protocols that have been put in place on board. This is something that is required by the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, as you know, prerequisite for an individual cruise ship to resume operations. And during the course of those simulated voyages, they simply run through all of the scenarios that they might face on an actual cruise. You know, what to do if someone gets sick, you know, how is that managed? And how is, you know, if somebody does have the virus, you know, how is that contained? But even more mundane things, like how do you maintain social distancing and make sure people are wearing masks where they're supposed to be doing that, all of that. So they run through all of that, and typically there are CDC inspectors on board, and they, you know, take note of how everything goes. And if assuming everything is done, you know, properly, the ship would be ultimately given permission to sail with paying passengers, and that's the stage we're at now, very happily. So,
yeah, it's great for, like I said, for both the industry, but also for Alaska's communities. So. Maybe if we could talk a little bit more specifically about what sorts of precautions cruise lines are taking, masking, vaccinations, limited capacity, how does that vary from ship to ship? Kind of take us through some of the main points of what's being done to both allow cruising to happen, but then also make sure that, you know, the coronavirus is mitigated as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a very comprehensive set of protocols. You can almost think of it in terms of prevention, you know, keeping the virus off the ship. That's the first step, but also responding, you know, in the event that, you know, somebody does become ill. I'll break it down even further. Cruises are being sold in two basic categories right now. Some cruises are sold on the basis of everybody being vaccinated. And by the way, that includes the crew. So obviously you have a very high level of protection there. Other cruises are open to all comers, although the expectation is that, you know, most people are going to be vaccinated. And we expect that because that's what our research is telling us, that nearly, you know, 90% or more may be vaccinated. One of the reasons we have open to all cruises is, you know, many cruisers travel as a family and they have children traveling with them. And many of the children, if they're under the age of 12, you know, are not eligible for a vaccine. So we have to accommodate, you know, those situations. We're happy to do so. Now, when for passengers who are not vaccinated, they would be required to undergo a test for COVID. And would be a test before embarkation. Some cruise lines will also have a test during the course of the cruise, just as part of a precautionary monitoring effort. And upon return and debarkation, when the cruise is over, there'd be a test. So a lot of testing. For cruises that are open to everyone, there's social distancing, there's mask requirements, as I mentioned. The density in restaurants on board would be controlled, similar to what we've all experienced on land. It's again part of the social distancing. And most cruises are sailing well under capacity at this early stage. So there's a lot of extra room on cruise ships. Actually, a nice time to take a cruise because you've got a lot of open space. So those are just a few of the things, but things that may not be quite as visible, but are there nonetheless, are elevations in the medical capabilities that are on board. There's added staff, there's testing capabilities. Some rooms have been set aside for quarantine, should that be needed. So the way of responding to a case is vastly different than the very early days of the pandemic. Added to that are prearranged logistical capabilities. So, if you need to airlift somebody to a hospital or, do something of that nature, all of those agreements are in place ahead of time, so they don't have to start from scratch if they have a patient that they have to take care of. They have all of the means at their disposal and ready to use, should that be necessary. So dealing with a case swiftly and effectively is a major, major change, although that would most likely be transparent to most people on board a ship.
Absolutely. And I mean, speaking of agreements also, so there's lots of things, of course, that are going to be happening on these cruise ships, but then there's also, you have to come to understandings with the communities. Is that a blanket thing, or is that a something that's figured out, community by community? Are there different mitigation measures based on, I don't know, a community or community size or something like that?
No, great question. In fact, one of the requirements that CDC has put on the industry, and it's a useful one, is to make sure that there are agreements between the cruise lines and the ports. And by ports, I mean port authorities, medical facilities, even potential quarantine facilities, should they be needed. So that there's agreement all around that, hey, if something happens, here's how we're going to handle it. So they've worked all this out in advance. In a broader sense, the cruise industry is always interested in engaging with ports in a partnership setting. You almost have to from a business perspective. I mean, how could we do business in any other way? It has to be mutually beneficial. And I think from many of the ports in Alaska, it has shown that it is very beneficial. Some of the research that we've done has shown that somewhere around 60% of all of the visitors from out of state that enter Alaska do so by cruise ships. So that's a pretty significant, of tourists and to the tourist dollar, which benefits not only the ports, but all of the service providers and taxi drivers, shops, restaurants, tour providers, and so forth. So a lot of people in Alaska, in the many ports, we're told are very anxious to see the cruise ships come back because it contributes to their income as well.
Definitely. I mean, I know that here in Wrangell, that definitely has been a big source of discussion. And we don't necessarily get those the biggest of the big cruise ships, but we will be getting the Silver Muse, Silver Seas Silver Muse, coming a few times in August and September. Before we talk a little bit about that, though, I do want to ask, American Cruise Lines, American Constellation did have some COVID cases on board. Did those, mitigation measures, did it kind of go according to plan? Was that the sort of thing that is considered, I mean, of course, not necessarily a success to have a case on board, but I know that there are these mitigation measures in place. So did that go smoothly?
It may sound a little odd to say this, but yes, the response was carried out according to their protocols. It was managed very quickly. People were isolated from each other so that it did not spread. People who did test positive were, that was detected early on, again through a testing mechanism. They were vaccinated, by the way, the two passengers. There was one crew member who was unvaccinated. But all three of them were managed very quickly. So yes, I think it's safe to say the cruise line, American Cruise Line, responded very quickly. It did work as it was supposed to work. They did cancel the cruise out of an abundance of caution, just to make sure that there was no possibility of transmission to a subsequent group of passengers. So yeah, unfortunately, we're still at a time when there are breakthrough cases. And that's happening, all over the world, not just in our industry, everywhere. And so the key is, how do you manage it? And I would say the procedures in place for managing those breakthrough events are pretty robust and far superior to, the early days of the pandemic, when nobody really quite knew how the virus was transmitted and how it can be mitigated.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it sounds like there's pretty high confidence, and of course, like with these larger ships, there has been the ability to do a test run with those employees of the cruise line and kind of see those things on a larger scale as well. Like I said, we're not necessarily getting a, huge cruise ships here, but would you be able to tell us a bit about Silver Seas, Silver Muse, kind of what's going to be coming to Wrangell, what that itinerary looks like, and maybe what the capacity the ship will be running at?
Actually, I'm sorry, I don't have all of the details on Silver Seas itineraries and the specifics on their ships. I apologize. If I had anticipated a little better, I could have looked up the specifics on those ships and maybe called the company. But otherwise, I'd just be guessing. But I can tell you, just overall for Alaska, we're predicting about 78 sailings, with about seven really large cruise ships, and then of course a number of the smaller ones as well. And essentially between now and the end of October. So it's a very good salvaging of this 2021 season. A few months ago, even, we were extremely worried that we wouldn't have a 2021 season in Alaska. The window was starting to close, the planning window of getting crews back and getting going through all of the appropriate tests and checks with the CDC. It was starting to look doubtful. So we had quite a bit of assistance from the congressional delegation in Alaska. They went to bat for the industry and for the local communities on Capitol Hill, and it was ultimately, signed by the president. So we have the waiver in place that allowed many of our ships to operate. Most of them being foreign flag, and there's a requirement in the law that they have to stop at a foreign port on their itineraries. They can't just go from U.S. port to U.S. port. So that cut out most of our members, not all, but most. So having that waiver in place made this season possible. So we're really, really grateful for that assistance.
Absolutely. They definitely did go to bat for communities here in Alaska. And I know that I mean, like you've said, and like I've said, it's a significant piece of a lot of Southeast Alaska communities' economies. Do you have a concept of how much of a season there is this year compared to a normal, a full season?
Well, it's starting maybe a month later than would normally be the case. So, and it will go pretty much to the third week or so of October, which is about normal. So we got the lion's share of this season. So
Most of the thing.
that's really good news.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, I've also noticed, in addition to, reopening messaging from Cruise Lines International Association, in addition to, a focus on COVID safety and economic recovery, a focus on responsible tourism and environmental impact as well. Would you be able to tell me kind of what sorts of things cruise lines coming back to Alaska are doing to mitigate the impact on air and waters? I mean, a big part of cruising here is, to see the natural beauty, see glaciers, see all those things.
Absolutely. I tell you, with all of the focus on resumption due to COVID, it's not, hard to understand how people may lose sight of the fact that environmental sustainability is also a huge issue within the cruise industry. And I'm happy to say that, the industry has really been a leader in developing new technologies to limit what goes into the water and what goes into the air. We're not done yet. There's still a lot more work to do, and it's not limited to but to maritime shipping in general. So we spend a lot of our time and energy working at the International Maritime Organization, where the rules are set, but also on an individual company basis, billions have been spent on systems that clean the emissions coming out of the stacks, the into the air, and to make them cleaner, to limit any local pollution. A lot of effort and a lot of R&D focus is now also being placed on carbon reduction. With in our industry, just like the rest of the maritime industry, is really focused on getting to zero carbon emissions as soon as we can. But it's going to take R&D, and so that's the direction we're heading. And then, of course, what goes into the water? Most new cruise ships and most existing cruise ships now have advanced wastewater treatment for sewage, and they're really quite effective. In fact, they are superior to most coastal communities in terms of what how it's treated and what goes in the water. Plus, we don't discharge anywhere near land. So, but what anything that is discharged is well treated and it comes out clean. And, anything that can't be discharged obviously has to go ashore. But the systems on board are quite sophisticated and very effective. So a lot of thought, a lot of investment has gone into those systems, and they'll continually get better. We're seeing new types of propulsion as well. Cruise ships are There's about 25 cruise ships on the order books that will be fueled by liquefied natural gas, which burns very clean. So this goes back to the air quality issue, extremely clean. So it will do a tremendous amount to improve air quality in ports. And again, cruise ships, I think, are a leader in this, but it's not exclusive to cruise ships. Other types of shipping are starting to do this as well. But we're even looking beyond that. LNG is a good interim fuel. It solves a lot of the pollution problems, but it does not completely solve the carbon problem or the greenhouse gas problem. So additional technologies are being explored that will ultimately replace even LNG. So it's an ongoing process, but I think the fundamental point is, our business is showing people the beautiful places in the world, like Alaska. People want to see the pristine environment, and it's our responsibility as operators, and quite honestly, in our business interest, to keep those places pristine. That's what people want to see, and they won't be pristine if we don't do our part.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned billions. I think the number I saw was 23.5 billion in both ships with new technologies and cleaner fuels. And I know that that's definitely, in addition to the return of cruising to Alaska, it's a benefit to communities and, welcome in Alaska with our natural resources and everything. But to have that movement, I know back in the last full cruise season that they had there was some controversy in Alaska about possible water pollution reported by the ocean rangers from scrubbers that mitigate that the sulfur-heavy fuel oil used by many cruise ships. So, I mean, I was heartened because it at least appears that the cleaner fuels part of that statement might indicate kind of a move by the industry or CLIA partners specifically to move away from that heavy fuel oil. Do you think that that's accurate?
I think we have a combination of technical solutions in place right now. But yeah, many, not all, but many newer ships are going to LNG. Most have the capability, even if they have heavy fuel oil used with a scrubber, and you can only use it with a scrubber. It cannot be used without the technological means to make sure that any emissions meet the sulfur limitations. They would also have the capability to burn lighter fuel oil. So there's usually most ships have a dual fuel capability, so that they can switch if they need to. But that the scrubbers are actually quite effective. They do meet all the international standards. They meet the EPA standards for the U.S. There've been quite a few tests on them, particularly with the wash water. Extensive tests that were done in Europe, to that measured them against water quality standards there, and just a whole series of, heavy metals and PAHs and so forth, and they've proven their effectiveness. I realize not everybody is prepared to look at them in the same way, but as an interim solution for now, they're doing the job. I think long term, though, we need new solutions. Shipping in general, global shipping needs newer solutions on how ships are propelled through the water, how they generate their power, and to do so in again, a carbon-free way. We don't have the technical answers to that yet. There's a couple of, promising alternatives for the future, but they haven't been developed at scale. To where they could, be used to propel a ship across an ocean, so we're getting closer. It's a I think that the industry, not just the cruise industry, but shipping in general, to come up with these answers, and our industry is very much a part of that global effort.
Absolutely, yeah, and I mean, billions with a B. That's a lot of money going into investing in this,
It
cleaner
is.
futures. So I guess to maybe wrap things up, if you were to leave community members with like a final message about the return of large ship cruises to Alaska, what would that message be? What would you want people to know about cruising coming back?
Well, I'll go back to where we started with COVID, and I would say you'd be hard pressed to come up with an environment that is as well protected as a cruise ship right now, with all of the precautions that are put in place, the safeguards to keep virus off the ship, and the means to deal with it if it does break through in some fashion. So when they come to your port, I think you can feel pretty good that they're about as well protected a visitor as you can find.
That is great to hear. Thank you so much for taking some time to come on Talk on the Rock, Mr. Solano. Really hope the rest of your Tuesday is delightful.
Thank you. Happy to have been here.
Thanks so much. You've been listening to Talk on the Rock, Wrangell's
Take care.
community show. This week's guest was Brian Salerno, the Senior Vice President of Maritime Policy with Cruise Lines International Association, talking to about the return of Alaska's cruise season and what it looks like in Wrangell. You can find other episodes of Talk on the Rock by visiting kstk.org.